www.ttbeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, have your way however you choose to. Just that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with his
man. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go no longer go, living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is another exciting, blessed training day. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Because, amen, it's a marvelous thing, I tell you. When there are people out there that don't have a clue what's going on around them, they don't really understand Jesus, know about Jesus, even care about Jesus. Amen. But amen, if you know him, amen, you are tremendously blessed. Hallelujah. Gracious honor. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor O, amen, and Runner for Christ Ministries, amen, hallelujah, our producer, amen, and all my blessed saints and friends, amen, amen, all over the place, and I say praise the Lord, amen. I tell you, it's such a blessing. We're going to be still talking today about the blood of Jesus, amen. So let's go before the throne of grace, amen, and give glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come before your throne, an opportunity you purchased with the blood of your own son. Amen. Otherwise, it would not be possible. And we thank you, Lord, right now that we can ask you and believe to receive. Father, we're believing, we're asking you right now to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless us to understand, amen, the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that will submit and obey you. Bless the eyes of our understanding, that we will know more what is the hope of your calling. Hallelujah. Father, bless us, amen, with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out, and that we will be fruitful in every good work, amen, as we walk upright before you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us, amen, to grow in our knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. Let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is a great honor. It's a great pleasure. I mean, you know, when you reach out to people and with all that's going on and they still think life is just going to go on as it has been, that they don't even know that this phase of life, this era of life, this church age, the preaching of the gospel is coming to a close, you know, and you can sense sometimes when you talk to people that they want you to be wrong. They want you to not know, but see, you know, and I don't get too many people to tell me, you know, no man knows, because I'll flip that back on them. I'm like, that's what it says. That is exactly what Jesus said. He said more than that. But his intent was, one, when he said that was 2,000 years ago. Two, the only person with that knowledge, he said, was the Father. And therefore, you would have to ask God about it. And this is one of the things we're going to talk about today, how that comes to be. Amen. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. And the picture that I want you to get, if you don't get anything, you need to understand how precious you are. You know, we sing the precious blood of Jesus, and it is truly precious. But that's what it took to purchase us off the sin market. Amen. That's what it took to redeem us. Amen. I don't know if people that don't have a clue are the result of just being in an environment where no one has prayed for them, or they've been prayed for to the point that God said, I'm through with them. I don't know, because I'm talking older people. I understand the younger people. And it's sad that a lot of younger people have failed victim to being born in some families that are financially stable, so they don't sense a need for God. Like, you need God. No. Listen, you need God. Let me draw you a picture here. Let me take you back, amen, for this, about this situation. All right? You know, this session, this my show is called Training Day. Now, it's based on the fact that when you really understand the scripture, it is to get us to the point of realizing that we have a not only the image of God, but the likeness of God, of which we really have very little understanding of. And once you transition from this body, you are at a power level you can't even begin to imagine. The restrictions that you have on your life right now don't exist. The intellect, there are in heaven, there are both in heaven and in hell, there are no dummies or geniuses. Everybody. everybody's on an equal level, except that you knew who the real dummies was when they wind up in hell. In Luke chapter 16, that's not an illustration. Jesus said, when he used the word certain, it's a certain person. You will hear that oftentimes pastor will identify him based on Jewish historical record as a man named Dives. Abraham, we know, they're communicating. There's a 500-year gap between them, and yet they have full intellectual comprehension of each other. And they are what we would call dead. Then there are those that say, when you're dead, you sleep. Well, you know, somebody wrong. Either the Bible is right, and that ain't the only incident. There's one in Mark chapter 9 where Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. Moses, we know, died. Elijah never died. You have to advance your mind to the supernatural, or you will not get this revelation, because what's coming on the earth, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. What's coming on the earth to defend yourself, you're going to have to operate in the spiritual realm. And that's not the magic realm. You're going to have to realize that you're dealing with forces that you can't see with your natural eye. They are revealed only in the Word of God, and they can only be understood by revelation from God. We, as teachers and preachers, can give you information. Your revelation is going to come by request from God. If you don't ask, he ain't giving. And at this particular time in history, God is only dealing with those who ask. He's only dealing with those who commit. And if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences. The point you got to get is that the power level, when John 20:26, I was talking with an engineer, and he understood what I was talking about. It's amazing that it stunned him, because, see, I know people haven't read the Bible, especially verse by verse. You know, even if you read through the Bible, some things should grab your attention. I remember, you know, it was years before I saw that when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he just appeared. And in my mind, it was, well, that's Jesus. He can do that. But then you got the Bible telling you in various places that we are going to be able to do that. So then I ran across a teaching by Chuck Missler, the late Chuck Missler. He was a NASA engineer. He did a series called Beyond Space and Time, which added more color to what I'm talking about, of how did we operate in realms that are just only God could create. And only God can reveal. You know, the fact is that you can't just be good and get and spend eternity in God's kingdom. It comes down to that simple thing. So now, when God created Adam, God could not make Adam. He could have. Adam was only going to be perfect so long. It was just a matter of time. Why? Because to be consistently, totally perfect, you would have to be God. Now, I mean, that's people debate. I mean, we got a bunch of denominations and all these other things that ain't in the Bible, so I don't expect people to readily accept it, but I do expect them to ask God about it, okay? Because that's that. In my mind, if you don't ask God, you're taking on the responsibility. I mean, that's... Not agreeing with that particular aspect won't send you to hell, but you will find yourself like folk in Arizona and California wondering why the fire is burning your house down when you have the authority to stop it. See, right now, I heard a few years ago a prophetic message, and it said that no longer you'd have to either be in this thing in Christ or out. No, none of this middle of the road activity was going to be to your advantage, and the benefiting vicariously from other people's prayer without you praying and without you living right had come to an end. And when I heard it, I, the Holy Spirit said to me, "The training wheels are off." Now, those of you that started riding bikes early understand that they put these what they call training wheels so you learn how to ride the bike without them. It will help you balance. right now, this is when I still, so many people do not pray. And it's not just me to see this. I know a historian, a well-renowned historian, he gives a lower number than I give. He said 85% of Christians don't pray, being generous. He might be right. I mean, he probably put more into it. But I've just been asking people directly, and I run up a poll on my Facebook page. And the reality is people just assume they have a lot of hope, and they think that that will get the job done. The most critical decision you made in your life is either to accept or reject Jesus. You can accept Buddha and Muhammad and everybody else, but listen, you go without Jesus, and I'm telling you, ain't no one else is calling themselves the Savior, and no one else has a documented history that was written before they were born. Jesus has one in Isaiah chapter 9 and chapter 7 and in chapter 52 and 53. You know, you can't, Zechariah 14, you can't do that without God. God says repeatedly, if you read chapters 44 to 46, he is the only God and there is none. And he said, let them declare themselves. All right. So we got the fact that Adam he was going to fall off. It's just a matter of chance. I mean, he was the first guy here. Unlike us, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church to go to. He had God, and he only had what he knew. When God told him if he ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, he would die, he had never seen anyone die. So, you know, that's Adam had a lot of leeway coming his way, because he was learning as he goes, just like everybody in the Bible. You know, everybody in the Bible never had a Bible. How about that? But they had to live by the Bible. That's because the word is alive. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All right. So we started out this talking about about the blood and how significant it is and how crucial it is and how sacred it is, because it is what? It is the life. In it is the life. I believe we was reading that first in Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And in the Genesis, where God told that to Noah. It's essential. Okay, the blood. And in this case, the blood of Jesus. We pointed out the fact that in the beginning, God would allow from Adam, okay, blood sacrifice. Now you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and God did the first sacrifice and covered Adam and Eve with the skin of the animal. I like to think he let it dry up first before he wrapped them in it, but, you know, they had the first fur outfits. But anyway, but that began that process, and actually, and it's, I don't want to get too, I find that if you get too deep, people forget what you say. I want you to understand that you can't, this ain't about a be good. It's a be good, but you got to receive Jesus. Now, all right, so what I tried to draw a picture, like I did with everything else, and how that Christ began in the Old Testament and came all the way through to where we are now, the same with the blood, and they are synonymous with each other in that one, synonymous, but they, I don't know if similitude is the word, but they link together, I'll put it like that. You can't have one without the other. Without the blood, you can't have the Holy Ghost, and without the Holy Ghost, you can't have life eternal. I mean, it's just that way. This is the way God, see, we're creatures that make decisions. I was looking today trying to find a more direct reference of understanding this God nature, small g-o-d, that we have. And we're different than angels. And, you know, angels don't get redemption. Angels don't get forgiveness as we get forgiveness on the level that we do. And you know, I talk about in my book, when describing the nature of man and try to bring into the focus why God let Satan exist. He plays a role because without the revelation of evil, you really don't know it's evil. It's people that do evil and don't know they're doing evil. You know, matter of fact, as I was talking about prayer, I was listening to another man of God talking about years ago in the early 1900s in Korea when they were ministering and how these people, they had certain practices, and this is common. I even brought out the fact that the Maasai tribe over in Africa presently today drink blood, which is prohibited by God. So the point of the matter is that there's a scripture that said that God winked at their sin. Okay, when you don't know, he'll give you leeway, but if he sends someone to you to tell you and you reject it, it's a different picture then. It's a different situation. Now, so the thing about prayer that people don't understand is that you have to have a covenant with God. Okay? Covenant for us, you will find the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament are directly connected to covenant. You run cross-sections of on the word, scan the word covenant, and you'll see what I'm talking about. That'd be another whole discussion. All right. So we're talking about this covenant, the covenant, the blood of Jesus, and how it was his blood was shed. We looked at Leviticus. I hope you took the time to read Leviticus chapter 4. You know, I know that the Running for Christ people did, but that's what they do. They study the Word, and I know the Word of Faith people do, and Renaissance Christian Center, what they call back in the day, they used to call those Word churches. They don't do nothing but teach the Word. Well, that's all they did before somebody got off into entertainment. I don't know how that happened. I do take that back. I do have an idea how that happened. You know, but the thing is having knowledge of the power. See, as I mentioned earlier, the fires and the floods and everything that's going on is going on because the people, the Christians in those areas are not exercising their authority that they gain through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're not exercising their authority because they do not have the knowledge that they can, and they think that's God's job. I even heard one lady ask in Germany, why God let this happen to us? No, he didn't. He gave you power. That's Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive power. We're talking about an omniscient God. He didn't just do something, say something for nothing. Amen. You know, it's really just amazing. You have to look at what this process. See, this is why the Old Testament is so thick. Maybe I need, I do need to do this recover. Go back through some of this again, so kind of draw a picture, because I know I got new people, amen, that I've just recently met. Anyway, okay, now, when I talked about covenant, and, you know, if you've visited a church, and there's something. Anyway, Jesus instituted what is commonly called the communion. And if you remember in the Bible earlier, he had read that you must drink of his blood. And, you know, that sounds barbaric when you think about it. I mean, right off the bat, because that is how it was received. But what he's talking about, what is in the blood? The life. And what is in the flesh? His word. And that's what he's talking about. You need, our goal in life is to assimilate into Jesus. He didn't die on the cross for us to be able to beg God for some junk that's going to be burned up, that's going to be useless in a short while coming, you know. But Satan has, as a master manipulator, have given people the idea, and he got, sadly, a lot of the church to help think that this is the focus of life. And you know, I mean, it is having priorities, you know, understanding what is what and when is when. All right. So in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, just before he was going to be executed for our sin, and he said, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. That's in verse 26. Thanks, and say, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? It's an acknowledgement. That's an acknowledgement. One of the first steps of receiving salvation. You have to acknowledge this reality. You have to acknowledge that God is. You have to acknowledge that you were born in sin. Amen. And be, you know, you could debate with it, but what's at risk is your eternity. You could try to be, you know, you could probably be better than me, but I've been washed in the blood. I have a contract. I have a covenant. I have an attorney to represent me before God. You would have to give account for all your sin. I would not. Jesus covered it. You got to understand, this is a big picture, but this is the totality of this all leads to God wanting us to rule and reign with him on earth for 1,000 years, and I don't even know what goes on beyond that. All I know is that he can't trust us with the level of power and authority that he is going to give us without us meeting this standard. We don't qualify for it without having the covenant. And that's what the main thing about prayer. You know, I have a list of seven causes of prayer failure, and the number one cause of failure is not having a covenant. You can't just pray, and people do this. You know, now they're starting to look at, pastors have been asking and or doing anonymous polls and finding out there are people that just came to the church, like the people, even served on an usher board, but never asked Jesus Christ to come into their life, to their heart. That is a, listen, I'm not talking about under the law, okay, but it is a legal activity. It prohibits God from being able to bless you according to his word. Satan fully realized that. See, you got to understand, if you're not in Christ, you're in Satan. Now, I know people don't like hearing that reality. If you're not in Christ, you're in Satan. Why? You were born in sin. That's his domain. That happened when Adam sinned in the garden. If you go back, I believe in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, when he spoke of all the world kingdoms, he said they were delivered to me. Who delivered them? Adam. Now we come to the word redemption. Redemption. Okay, now we're kicking. Okay. First, the blood removes the sin, and then the blood redeems us. It brings us back into the fold of God. It establishes the covenant. It gives us access to the throne of God. That's powerful. See, I know in our natural mind, we just think it's just words, and that's why people think it's just religion. But you got again, you go back and you review and you look at what went on in the book of Leviticus with the priest and the high priest, okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, I haven't got time here. You got to understand this process. This is, when they talk about his blood, it did a lot of work. Just like Christ do a lot of work, okay? The anointing does a lot of work. It does. It's not just, these are not just Hebraic sayings. These are not just some things somebody came up with. No, man, humans wouldn't even came up with this. Yeah, I mean, they don't. You can talk to them, you know, especially to these people that believe. Well, you know what? For me to believe an atheist to tell me that there is no God is like me to go to a botanist to tell me there's no race car. He don't know nothing about cars. like a race car guy. You know, I don't know nothing about flowers. Damn, how you gonna know about something you haven't been in his presence? You don't know him. Ain't no God. Man, please. That's another way Satan called people stupid. He's good. They fall for that. You know, because when I ask him, I'm like, how do you know? Prove it. You know, my response, don't ever ask me, you know, prove there's a God. Because I'm telling you, if you don't believe everything you see, I'm going to tell you, take a 45, stick it to your temple, squeeze the trigger. You go on the other side, you know, because there's no atheists in hell. But anyway, I'm losing track here. Okay, we're talking about redemption. Now, see, I know that it is the responsibility of the body of Christ to pray daily for those who do not have a revelation. It's not my job to convince you, okay? I haven't seen a office, a position given by God called convincer. I've seen teacher, and teachers teach people they want to learn. I've seen apostles and pastors and prophets and ministers, people who serve. But I haven't seen convincer. It ain't my job to debate with you. Matter of fact, the Bible discourages debate. Don't do it. Because why? Because it just becomes an intellectual battle. You know, I don't care. You know, the reality, this thing too deep. See, and God purposely designed us with different levels of intellect, and that purpose is so that we will be able to learn how to love. The lesser have to learn how to love those that are smarter, and the smarter have to learn to love those that are not as smart as they are. Because that tells God what you will do when you have full access to power, and ain't nobody smarter than Jesus, but he loves us all. And the love, whenever you hear me talk about love, I'm only talking about agape love, which is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And ain't nothing in there about emotions. All right. So we talked about the fact that you got to have a covenant, which comes through what? The blood of Jesus. See, Easter and Christmas ain't just a holiday. It's a revelation. And the reason it keeps coming back, because God told me it gets people attention. Every year it gets at least one. If it only get one person attention, God will keep it going. Because saints, friends, I'm telling you, we're coming to a close. You can go on YouTube and they will and look up Ezekiel 38 and World War III, and you'll get a bomb load of prophecies and people giving revelation of how this situation going on with Putin is only being held back by the prayers of the saints, but it's going to lead to World War III. And if you live near a major city, if you don't leave with the rapture, you're going to get fried alive. I'm just being, it's the only way I can tell you. I live in the Detroit area, and everything between Detroit and Chicago will be destroyed. And the World War III is at the beginning of the tribulation, and Armageddon is at the end. And that's when Jesus come back, and we'll come back with him. So you want to leave before that. I'm a firm believer. I don't debate. If you want to stay here after the rapture, you want to stay and go through the tribulation, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. But I ain't staying. I'm here, you know, I'm here by request. Hallelujah. So understand the redemption process, which is laid out again in the Old Testament. The Old Testament have types. Well, you know, you could get yourself caught up in debt and captivity, and you could be bought out, okay? And this is what this is what it costs to Jesus. This is what it's talking about. Matter of fact, let's go, we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Supposedly a modern mouse, and it ain't so modern. I don't know what the issue is, this technology. Okay, Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 is kind of referring to what we was talking about a few weeks ago in the book of Leviticus, in the slaughtering of animals for the sacrifice of sin, Anyway, so we'll read this. And then verse 8, it says, Hebrew 9, verse 8, it said, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all. And let me say, let me read this through. And the holiest of all was Yacht. That's not yet together. That's what Yacht means. Anyway, was not, I get 3 points for new words too. Was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure in the, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, talking about Jesus, under the anointing, being the anointing in the fullest, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify up the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? All right. The summation is, it took all that. God set a price. He wanted to illustrate that your life has value, and your actions are significant, and that this is critical. If it was, like I said, if it was going to be as simple as us just being living this little trouble-free life like some people live on, little small islands where it's just a small group of people and they don't have a whole lot of drama because there ain't nobody fighting over these this technological junk that we created, and they don't have as much idolatry as we have, that would be different. Then God wouldn't have had to go through all this. But it's the fact that you notice the transition. You've probably been to a funeral and you've seen an empty body, and some people, for whatever reason, think the person is in their sleep, but that is just that, a body. It's like a car without a driver. They have transitioned, depending on their relationship with Jesus Christ, whether they're in hell waiting for judgment or whether they're in heaven waiting, where they go before the bema or the judgment seat of Christ, amen, to receive their rewards. Now, one thing, I have a phrase, now you don't want to go to God empty-handed. You don't want to go to God empty-handed. Everything that you want more to go before God has to be things you do that he has ordered. Okay, make up some stuff. That's good, but it don't count. And if you're not in Christ, it doesn't even matter. All right, but bottom line here, first off, you need to understand that under the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into the place called the Holy of Holies. You got to go back and read the book of Leviticus. And you'll find that when they built the tabernacle, there was the holy place and there was the Holy of Holies, in which they went, where you hear mention of, I believe, a Yom Kippur, where the priest would go in once a year to offer sacrifices for the people's sin, his sin and the people's sin. Well, we are in the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body. By him succeeding in dying without sin and being resurrected as his body, when you're praying, you're able to go into the Holy of Holies. See, I know if you could see, if a dimensional door would open up and you see light and all the flashings and the heavenly colors, which they say are much, much more richer than what we experience down here, people probably would be more enthusiastic about prayer. But let me give you this little FYI, too. You will notice when you go back to the Old Testament that Leviticus chapter 16, It started out with talking about the guy would tell Aaron, told Moses to tell Aaron. Aaron was the rep back then. He was the high priest. And that he couldn't just go into the holy place anytime. And one, when he went in there, he had to cleanse himself of sin. There was a process for that, the shedding of blood and the sacrifice on with that. But he was able to go through that. There was one situation where Moses had been before God, and when he came out from the presence of God, his face shined. You know, there's mention in reference in Scripture of what is called the Shekinah glory. I'm not going to try to spell that, you know. But anyway, I can only imagine that even though God gave a physical representation of something that happens in the spiritual realm. Now, I learned something. This is why I'm so adamant about praising God and worshiping God, particularly at home. You know, that's what it really counts. Ain't nobody watching. You ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody but the audience of one, which is God. And the house I live in now, when I moved in, I was so accustomed to the presence of God showing up. And I want to say, whenever that happens, He has given you a blessing. That's another whole story. And see, that's the whole point. That's what's talking about the anointing. This is the process. This is what the blood purchased. You have access to the mindset of God. His presence is an unmistakable presence. It's because everything negative got to go. This is where people get healing. This is why I was so confident when they told me, so what, you got cancer. Cancer is unclean. It can't stand before the presence of God. This is what all this is about. But it isn't, you know, Satan sent the cancer, God sent the cure. All this come with the blood of Jesus. By his stripes, his blood shed, we were healed. Past tense, it's done. 1 Peter 2:24, done, okay? So when you make your way, in the presence of God, I can't go to God's presence and be depressed. If I go in there, I ain't never went in there depressed because I start out singing praises, you know? Just before I came on there, I was singing praises, okay? So before you go there, this is a privilege we have. Everyone does not have it. Everybody can sing, but everybody does not make the transition in the heavenly realm. And there are times when he will reveal himself and open up the door. And let me tell you, sometimes the power flow has been so great, I had to tell God to back off because I thought I was going to pop. I'm telling you, you just don't know. But he does not do that for entertainment. A lot of things happen during that. Healings happen. Revelation, knowledge of the word happen. Things that are going to happen in the future are revealed. He never does it for just to be doing something because, I guess I go visit Richard and just shake him up a little bit. It's not even to let you know he is. He does it. Because matter of fact, if you don't believe he is, odds are he won't show up because he don't believe it, see. And you don't base your life and your relationship on feelings because they're fickle. That's the lowest level of comprehension you have, okay? But your spirit will have the revelation. And this can only occur where the blood is. That's that layer. Remember the washing, then the application of the blood, then the Spirit of God. You have to have the blood. Like I said, on Christ, on one side is the blood, on the other side is the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, that's the best I can explain it, but the fact is I'm covered in it and it allows me access to his throne. And this is what it is. See, all these things together. What's going on in Ukraine? They have a lot of, quote, religion. Now, they've been lately been getting some word. A small percentage of them have been getting some word. And the reason I say it's a small percentage, because if the percentage was above, I'd say 30%. Putin would have never been able to get into the land. God would do the same thing that he did in the Old Testament. He would do, it would have been a lot. There have been, I've been seeing recordings of supernatural events, and they are, without question, going into the third month. So it is, there's, the favor of God is there. But, you know, if more of us, not there are not enough of us throughout the whole world praying for that situation. See, this is the whole point. Now, the blood does what? The blood washes away my sin. Now, that's any sin, okay? And you got to acknowledge that. That's come from something as simple as fussing somebody out for cutting you off in traffic. Reason Satan does those things, or the satanic demon is assigned to you, is because he knows during that period of time, if you don't ask God for forgiveness, your power is blocked. That means at that point in time, if God needed me to pray for Ukraine, I can't pray for Ukraine unless I repent. See, all this is connected. Now, you go back to the Old Testament, I would have had to make a journey. Well, in a lot of cases, you had to make a journey to the temple. You got to spend money on sacrificing the meat and a heifer and all this process you had to go through. Read Leviticus chapter 4. When I just now simply say, Father, I have sinned. I ask forgiveness for it in Jesus' name. That simple. And it's done. And don't, once God forgive you because you feel it, that's cause and effect. But that God cast it as far from the east, from the west, okay? All this benefit purchased with the blood of Jesus. Purchased, and he lives by his own standard. You know, Peter was asking Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he offend me? Seven times? And Jesus told him seven times 70, 490 times for every one sin in a day. Okay, I don't know nobody's ever offended me more than once in a day, okay, and I don't think I've ever offended anybody. But see, there's a process here. So this tells you, or should tell you, the magnitude and the significance of this activity, of the blood. See, because I was reading in a commentary today that says that it's just, we become so familiar with it that we don't think it is as, I wish I had it up here, as significant as it really is, because we do it so frequently. They weren't allowed that. Okay, they had to, you go back and you look in the book of Leviticus. I remember the first time I read book, man, that's a book. And apparently I'm not the only one, because I heard a man of God talking to his people said the book of Leviticus, which none of y'all read, you know, but you know, because you hopefully now you get the significance is the book of Leviticus draw you a picture step by step of how significant the death of Jesus was, how important it is for you, as they say, to plead the blood. To plead the blood, for those of you that are new, that if you hear somebody saying that, they're notifying the demonic world, I have a blood covenant with God, and therefore, whatever you are doing, you must desist and cease, because I have a blood covenant. Whatever you want to do, if I plead the blood over my house, they're not supposed to be able to attack it, okay? But that's what it is. You plead the blood over your children. And again, if you're listening, do not send your children to school without praying angelic protection over them. You know, I keep hearing these situations where these kids got killed in school and that's something. But you know what? That God didn't let that happen. The parents did. I know that's hard to take, and it's something that's simple. But see, we done got to the place where we let these folks, or some people let these people tell them all that ain't necessary, even some preachers saying that. So well, you need to decide either the word is right or the man is right. And I'm going with the word every time. I am going with the word every time. And what's coming, I don't, you know, we're in the quiet. Here in America, we're in the quiet before the storm. But that's because there are more active praying people. And here in the Michigan area, I think have probably the highest concentration of actual praying people, because a lot of things bypass us. And I don't think that's, Satan ain't, he is, you know, he's not prejudiced. He don't care. He will abuse and use, dog out, destroy anybody. He does not care. And even down south, I see this lady, I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but this fire went around her. See, and then you got people that hurricane, tornadoes go around them. There's a man of God that I know in Louisiana. The hurricanes go around him because he stands on his authority that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. You got to think on that rim. I mean, come on, you got a God. We have a God that don't have a birthday. So no, he's trying to get us to elevate our thinking to that level. That's what all this elaborateness is about. Okay? All right. So we got redemption, and then there's the process, okay? See, there's a growth process, and if you're new to Christ, then remember this. Just when you miss it, you miss it. And, you know, I hear a lot about sin is missing the mark. You know, some of us just miss it on purpose. We just like cross-eyed shooting with an arrow. But, again, because this is critical. And you got to get your mindset. You know, I heard today about prayer and the lack of consistency. You must be, because consistent. You go consistently before the throne of God, you become, you will know the difference between being in his presence and not being in his presence. You will know the difference. And that you can't get there without having been washed in the blood. Okay? But in getting there, he will share with you, see, I don't know you. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you need done. I don't know, you know, you got people taking final exams, graduating from college. God can get it done. He can bring, the Holy Spirit said he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. He said he will, if all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. There's a keyhole blessing for everything. But you have to be able to access the promises of God. You can't access the promises of God without the covenant through Jesus Christ. And you don't get that covenant by taking communion. The communion is just representative of something spiritual that has already happened. You can't live in sin and then go to church and take communion and that brings you in. I know they teach that. I'm not going to even waste time on that. Do it like the Bible says. All right? So, I mean, think about this, because, again, as we're going through, as we approach this close in the era of the church, you're going to need this, because I don't know what's waiting in the wings. It may just be the rapture. I hope it is. But it's, for me, it's been too quiet. I mean, it's the typical, you know, murder mayhem that's going on, chaos. But, you know, I just don't think this, with the COVID thing is still around, but it's that right there has got more people to stay consistent with their prayer life, because they have to stay right with God. And I know traditionally, whenever something of that nature happened, people will attend to God for a little while. War break out, fill up the church. War go away, go right back to doing what they was doing. Another war broke out, Iraq, filled up the church. And then after that, went right back to doing. I know it disturbed people, but the fact is, this time, the doors were shut when COVID showed up. So they had only one place to go, directly to God. And the only way you could get there was in Christ. And I really just hope that you're getting this, the significance of this, and of how important it is. I do want to mention, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 10, Moses had two nephews. They were Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. And I'm going to see if I can get this up right there. Just to show you, and this is why you want to do what God says, how he says, when he says. And it says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers. Now, let me draw your picture here. They God had ordained that Aaron and his sons would be priests unto him. They could minister to God. And there was a specific order given to that. I believe it's in Exodus chapter 28, and in the book of Leviticus in the earlier chapters, specifically how this is supposed to be handled and the timing of it. Basically, this is what happened. The priests worked 24-7 because people sinned quite a bit, and they had quite a bit of, it was like 3 million people, and they had to count for everybody's sins. So it was their own working thing. Now, I don't know what drove them. I've heard, I personally just think they just wanted to get out of the rotation, or they just thought that they could start their own little organization. See, let's read and see what happens. It says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, added incense. They offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Man, you know, it's kind of like, imagine that now with all these churches. There are people that start churches for the purpose of avoiding paying taxes. You know, I've seen a church with a name that it was so long I couldn't even remember. You know, and they talk about separation of church and state, but see, if that was handled where it had, or only you could only get a license for a church through a church body, a lot of that craziness would end. But the state hands out licenses like candy just for a price. You know, as long as they get their fee, they don't care what you call you. You could call the church or the Nike gym shoe, and they will give it to you. But here, again, there is an order to this. The priest had an order, and you have an order. I have an order. One of the debates that I'm on the opposite side of is the issue with Job making a sacrifice for his children in case they have sinned, okay? And my argument is God provided for that. It's documented in Leviticus chapter 4 in the verse. He said if they commit sin and don't know they committed sin. Now, you know, you can interpret that either way you want to, you know. There is and commonly taught that that's what let Satan in the door. I just thank God just left the door open. This is the other thing about, thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's get this in before we close this out. I want you to get why I believe that. Chapter 6 here, verse, I believe, 14. Verse 20. It said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price with the blood of Jesus. That means Satan can't buy a soul. So suddenly you hear somebody say a person sold their soul to the devil, let them know they can't afford it. Satan can't afford it. He don't have a son yet. The Antichrist is going to be his incarnate son. He said, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your property, with your body. See, this is the bottom line is when you come to Christ, you agree to let God use you as he see fit. Okay? Now, I mean, I could argue the whole case, and, you know, everybody going to believe what they believe. The bottom line is this. The Lord is God, period. And if he choose, this is the thing, too. This is the other aspect. You got to remember all this was love the Lord your God. Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love it. Put everything into it. That means something going to come against you. That's going to press you, and you have to press back and illustrate your love for God. Jesus did it, because I'm telling you, them nails, I seen a picture of them nails. Man, we think of nails like nails that we do in carpentry. No, them were things I was told they're like 7 inches long, square wood, drove through his hand, made about a 1-inch hole. Yeah, you seen pictures of the holes of his hand. Them ain't no little pinhole like like the size of an ink pen. Price that you don't let no demon tell you you're not special to God. And if nobody, you know what? If I've been of the mindset, if nobody liked me, I know three people that like me. That's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I mean, through the price that Jesus, man, please, the blood he shed for me up on Calvary, you can't depress me. You can't depress me. I'm only 70 years, soon to be 71, into eternity. I can't even think. The 1,000-year reign. We got 1,000 years. I'm not getting the feedback that it's going to be some drag strips, so I had to find something else to do. I don't know, maybe foot skiing or something on the water or something. But anyway, think about what we're getting out of this deal. Paul said this little bit of stuff we go through down here can't even compare. Can't compare. Bottom line is you are very valuable. Very valuable to God, to the point that it took the blood of Jesus to purchase your soul. And in doing so, you have privilege that the average person don't have. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care what they call them, what their status is. If they haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, they can pray. And if God can, he'll try to give one of us to pray so that he can answer their prayer, because his thing is to show love at all costs. But you got to understand how precious you are. So I hope you got something out of that. But it begins with this. This is how you receive Christ. You giving God right now this little quick prayer gives God the legal opportunity to intertwine with your mind and begin to educate you in the thing that you need to be educated in. You know, I've been given instruction. I sent a copy of my book, by the way, to a particular individual. And I believe in God that it's going to help and bless them. I'm believing God, but it wasn't on my mind to do, because like everybody else, I don't have nothing against celebrities, but you know, it take a lot of prayer. I put it like this. I pray for them. I make it a point to try to pray for celebrities. You ought to make it a point, too, because if we don't pray for them, Bible, when you think of the terms where it says in Timothy, pray for those in authority, people with money are authority. They have influence. So if we don't pray for them, and you know Satan wants to take that money and abuse it, use it for abuse like they do, it's up to us in the body of Christ to pray for them. So begin this process. Just say this prayer. If you've never said it before, say it now. If this is before or after the rapture, just say this prayer. And this locks you into the family of God. And then from then, just after the rapture, and you can find a copy of the word. Some things that the Holy Ghost will reveal to you by nature. You know by nature. He will tell you because of the situation is different. That's how he deal with Adam and everybody before the Bible was written. He dealt directly. He got the word to them. Now, everybody in the Bible lived by the Bible, even though they didn't have a Bible. Amen. Just say this. Lord God in heaven, I acknowledge that you are God alone. And I believe that the story of the Bible and that we were born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin, and I accept your offer that you made with the death, burial, and resurrection of your own Son to purge me of my sin. And I ask, Lord Jesus, for you to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and Jesus is Lord and I am born again. Amen. Well, amen. Think about it, pray about it, believe God about it. And at the end of this video, I will have an ad for my book again. Well, actually, it'll be on the front of the video. But anyway, remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next time.
There is a place for me.